Well, here is another sign of spring and something else that's going to get the spring lovers in our area excited. It is an international film festival, and it has to do with it's presented by the International Fly Fishing Film Festival, our UMD's very own, and, you know, we take credit for him, too, because he shot some video for us, Dave Cowarden. Has made this film, and the dude that he made the film about is in our studios this morning. Jeff Vukelich, welcome to our studio. So while you're geeking out on radio, I'm geeking out on your involvement with the Bear Grease in the past. So you're my new bestie, and we'll kind of go from there. The film has really got to be interesting for you. And I have so many questions. They're all rushing to come out of my mouth at once. The film is called From Bigotry to Brook Trout.
Yeah.
So the first question, I suppose, would have to be, how did Dave find out that you were a bigot?
it was pretty organic, actually, which is kind of, I think, makes the film what it is. A couple years ago, or maybe last year, he had had a film down in Hamlin for a fly fishing film expose down there. And it was about brook trout, and I'm a brook trout fisherman through and through. And I had reached out and said, hey, you know, I've got some ideas if you guys want, you know, if you wanted help, or, you know, I'll be like a Sherpa, if you will. Like, I'd kindly do that. And if you guys want to join me on some fishing stuff, like, that'd be fun. And we kind of talked back and forth. I went down and saw his film. And he kind of come up with this idea, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a film about art and how art connects with the outdoors, fishing, fly fishing. So he comes up to my house one afternoon. We kind of talk all summer, and we plan this, like, five-day float trip with myself and three other great people. And he comes to my house. We set up all the film recording stuff, and so he's kind of, I don't know the journalistic word for it, but we were shooting audio, the voiceover,
and Dave's got an interesting process, too, because he does work with his audio and video separately, which is really super cool.
Yeah.
But, and he's such a great guy, and he's kind of a quiet guy, you know, and the next thing you know, you're telling him stuff you had no intention of telling him. So anyway, you're sitting there, and, you know, and you're rolling tape, and you're talking.
So we're going on, and long story short, I mean, I say that, but it'll be long story longer. We start yakking, and we're out talking about art, and we're talking about this, we're talking about that, and it's, mind you, it's middle of August, it's kind of warm, the hot garage is hot.
Sure.
You know, craft beers in the area are kind of cold and delicious, so we might have had a few adult beverages.
Well, you're just temperature regulation. I get it, right? Yeah, exactly. So, that's another time-honored journalistic practice, but go ahead.
So anyhow, we're kind of almost wrapping up the interview, and he asked one more question, and, you know, I just kind of said, you know, I wasn't a good kid. Like, I was narrow-minded, and, like, I was, you know, heavily racist, and I was into some pretty bad things. And he, like, put his headphones back on, and he looked at me, and he's like, are you okay talking about it? And I'm like, yeah, man, this stuff doesn't bother me. The more open people are, I feel like the more growth you're going to get at yourself as a person, right? So, anyways, we started to chat, and Brian Jasperson, who was with him, he starts asking a few questions, and David starts asking a few questions, and I'm an open guy. Like, it doesn't bother me, and all of a sudden, I'm looking outside, and it's dark, and it's 4.5 hours later, right? And, you know, he's like, wow, and I'm like, yeah, like, whatever. So I didn't think much of it, and this was August. I think we went on the float trip in September, maybe. So September rolls around. We go through that deal, hung up with a bunch of great people, good time. And then, early October, he texts me, and he's like, hey, I think I'm going to take this in, like, a different way, like a human growth thing or whatever. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. You're the filmmaker. I'm just a local guy, right? So he didn't really say much, and, I mean, he kind of did, but nothing, like, it wasn't like a surprise, right? Well, anyways, he sends me this film at the end, and he's like, hey, I want to know what you think. Like, we went with a different way, and he didn't even tell me what the title of it was. And I remember myself and my partner, Katie, are sitting on the couch, and I pull it up on the Vimeo thing, and it was like, Brook Trout, or Bigotry to Brook Trout. And I was like,
oh,
damn. Like, oh.
This could
be something interesting.
Be special.
So we watched it, and it was... you know, I've said this a lot, and good for him that he was on the radio, but, you know, it's my story, but everybody's got amazing stories. I'm sure you've got amazing stories. David's got amazing stories. There's people in this world that have stories that are 8,000 times better than mine, but it took like a real creative guy like David to take just an average local story from an average local guy and turn it into this, like, really meaningful story. Like, I've gotten emails from some people and bigger people in the outdoor and fly fishing industry, like, this is amazing. You're open book. Like, this is great. I hope it's inspiring. And I feel like it gets lost that David was the creative genius behind it. Like, he was the one that decided, you know what, and I agreed with him that every fly fishing film or Instagram or social media post, whatever you want to call it, is nothing more than, and it's not, I don't want to generalize, but unfortunately it's most of the industry. It's five or six bro dudes with showing how they got to the river, drinking beer, and at the end they're holding these giant fish up, right?
Sure.
So David's enlightened, you know, he's kind of opened my eyes. I've always joked with him, like, you've ruined fly fishing films for me. Like, I'll never look at them again.
Well, and you're not going to watch those weekend fishing shows either, anyway.
Yeah.
Because this is something different,
it's a story.
And it's special.
Yeah.
And we tend to think, you know, it's willing suspension of disbelief. We tend to think when we sit down in front of a story that we're going to be told visually,
right,
that it just happened that way. You know, that you said all of the things that you said in the same order that you said them, that the lighting was just so, and it was this. And we think that it's unfolded that way, and we don't,
right,
which is a testament to the artistry.
Yes.
We don't think about this 7-minute film, and this is a 6-7 minute film.
Yes, somewhere between 7 to 9 minutes. I
okay,
think.
So this 7 to 9 minute film came out of 4 hours of conversation and choices made about every single. And I've worked with Dave. I mean, I've sat down and worked and edited with Dave before, and it's a choice every second, every 3 seconds are choices that are made. So I'm curious about how you came to this realization. I've known a million people who would be completely comfortable saying, I used to, you know, drink too much, or I used to do substances, or I used to wreck cars, or I used to steal cars. They'd be completely comfortable with any of that. But if you ever said, you know, were you a bigot? They, not me.
Yeah, I mean, you go one further and you look at them and just ask them just to say the word African-American in a group setting. And their hair stands on end, right? And for me, it was a lot of it was, and I say it in the movie, and I say it a lot, but I'll say it again. People draw conclusions, and they get opinions based on where they're at and where they're from. So, like, unfortunately, me, I didn't. We went places when I was a kid, and, you know, and kudos, I'll preface the whole thing by saying kudos to my folks. Like, they're great people, and they did the best possible job they could. It's just everybody's their own person, right? So at a certain point, they're just going to take a road, whether you guide them in the right way or not. So for me, it was, I drew every opinion I had from Duluth Superior. And, you know, it's sad to say, I feel like the Duluth has moved in a forward in it, but we're still a racist town. And it hurts a lot of people when I say that, and a lot of people like to throw darts at me, but realistically, we've gotten better, but it's a culture that people don't want to admit or even acknowledge. And like I said, we're doing better as a city and as a community, but we still have leaps and bounds to go. And I don't really feel like you're ever going to be done.
So how did you figure out, how did you identify these views, and how did you decide that you wanted to be different? Because many people say, I have these views, and they can give you lock, stock, and barrel how they came to those views and why their views are right.
Exactly. For me personally, it was the fact that you had predetermined ideals of what a community or an ethnic group or, you know, it was what I felt was right, and it was what I drew from more of my community. So then I started branching out. I was racing sled dogs for a while and handling for some people, and we were able to go to a lot of different places. And a lot of those places were First Nations, Indigenous, Native. And, you know, unfortunately in Duluth, they get stereotyped terribly in Duluth. And that was the stereotype that I thought. Well, then you go to places where you are the minority. Okay,
and so that feels really different and weird.
Oh, man. So the first time we went to Alaska, I remember being in Nome, and we were walking down the street, and we were staying with host family, which are just like, it's a way for you to kind of save money. So it's a family that like, oh, you can stay with us instead of staying in a hotel. Anyways, we stayed with them. They were Native First Nations folk, and they're great people. And I remember kind of thinking like, oh, these are just like normal people, you know. I always kind of kept my views in check, if you will, air quotes, check.
Sure.
At the time. Well, I remember we were walking downtown Nome, 2,000 people, whatever. And the people we were with, I'm like, hey, I want to go over to that bar. It was called the Board of Trade. And he looks at me and goes, you don't want to go there. Why don't I want to go there? He's like, well, you're not the right kind of guy to walk in that bar. And it was the first time that anybody had pointed out that
you were the wrong race to do something.
Yeah. Like, you shouldn't go in there. Like, yeah. That's their bar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're impressionable, but, you know, you kind of think about it, and you're like, what in the world? You know? And then, unfortunately, like, you know, they have a bad alcohol problem up there, and alcoholism is rampant everywhere. And I remember we were walking back to his house, and we were indulging in adult beverages, and There was a gentleman, a First Nations person, passed out on the sidewalk. It's 15 below out. And he steps over him, and I looked at the guy who was staying with him. I'm like, hey, man. He's like, oh, no, that's Fred. He'll be all right. And I remember thinking to myself, like, well, if he just sees him as a person, like, so what am I doing? What am I seeing? Right? I mean, they're of the same race. Mm-hmm. They live in the same town, and he doesn't see this, and he's looking at me telling me not to go in there because he sees my whiteness. Well, and then for me, it was just like something that tripped, and I'm like, man, maybe something's wrong here.
And once you start thinking down, you know, once that switch flips, right, and you start thinking down the road,
yeah,
you start thinking all kinds of weird stuff you've never thought before.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about your family and friends now. You've made, obviously, a change that you're comfortable talking about, that you've been vocal about,
right,
that you have gone in onto a movie and on the radio to talk about.
Yeah, really.
How do your family and friends feel about that? Because on the one sense, they have to deal with you differently if these are not changes that they have also made. And yeah, on another level, it would be really easy to see how they could feel criticized or judged,
yeah,
for their attitudes.
It's really interesting, to say the least. I will say, you really, not that anybody's abandoned or walked away, but you really know who your friends are. Let's put it that way. Everybody reads the paper, right? And obviously there was I shouldn't say everybody. A large majority of the people read the paper,
sure,
correct? Well, when you walk into a room and you know those people read the paper, and
you can probably look at the faces in the room and go, you read it, you read it, you read it.
Right, and it's crickets.
Oh, yeah.
What does that tell you?
Yeah.
For me, what it tells me is they have their own insecurities, right? And I don't fault them. I don't blame them. But they have their own insecurities probably on that topic. Like, they don't want to talk about it. People just don't want to say it. They don't want to talk about it. They just want to go through life and pretend like it's not there. And I expand it to a wider array in that you yourself as a woman probably deal with it more than this big dumb white guy sitting on the other side of the thing. I mean, I'm sorry, right? But it is a middle class white guy world out there, and we trod and trample on everybody, and then people look at me and they're like, well, how are you dealing with it? It's like, I can do whatever the heck I want to do. I am a middle class white guy, you know? I mean, I don't mean to stand on a soapbox right now, but it drives me bonkers because this shouldn't be like, oh, well, once again, who's getting the limelight? It's a middle-class white guy, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to change topics. It just drives me bonkers sometimes.
One of the things I guess I wonder about, and then we're running out of time, unfortunately. We could sit here for days and days and days and talk. But one of the things that I wonder about is when someone has an attitude that they don't want to talk about or that they don't want to go on the record about, it's like I have a lot of course, I'm old, and that helps. I have a lot of attitudes that I will absolutely go on the record about. Right. It isn't appropriate in my job for the most part, but in my personal life and in my volunteer life, I have attitudes that I will go on the record right. with. And when somebody doesn't want to talk about an attitude or they don't want to go on the record about it, I think, well, why not? Do you secretly suspect that there's something the matter with this attitude? Or if you're afraid you're going to draw criticism, doesn't that tell you that maybe you need to rethink the attitude?
I understand I'm brazen, and the other aspect of it is I understand I don't look like the most inviting person in the world. I understand that I'm a big, burly guy with a beard that kind of has a scowl. I have the male equivalent of resting bee face, I think is what some people say. So, anyways, what I'm getting at is you have to approach it every day with just by that person, right? And if that person doesn't want to engage with you, or maybe he has some feelings that he doesn't want to explain, I'm not going to force him out of them. I'm not necessarily going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you, like, you need to get better. You need to tell me. All I'm trying to tell you is challenge yourself, right? Because ideally, and it sounds like a therapy session, but it's not. And I am not educated either at all. I barely finished high school. But realistically, we all make our own decisions. So if you are feeling uncomfortable, do your research. There is plenty of internet and social media, that's not the best platform, but I guess what I'm getting at is if you want to change, right? And if I can help that by just telling you that I did, and you know, and I'm brazen, and that if people don't like my views or don't like what I stand for, that's fine. I don't expect them
to. Well, and you did, it sounds like you made some of these changes internally. You didn't make a big production out of, now I'm going to change, or go to a seminar to change, or go to a whatever to change. All of the changing that you did was internal. It was private. Mm-hmm. Nobody would have known about it.
No. The only, the help, and I say it at the end of my movie, the three, you know, I had some really close friends that were open-minded. My partner, Katie, has been amazing, and my mother and father, obviously, and then, an old famous hockey coach from UMD has been a mentor for me for, 20 years, and they've helped me through it, but once again, like, I have no education. The only reason I wasn't good at English, like I went to, to the Sylvan Learning Centers and stuff like that, because I wasn't a book smart kind of guy. And people ask me, you speak and carry yourself well. And why do you do that? Because I didn't want to be the other guy. And that's like the easiest thing I can tell people. I've thought of things I wanted to do, and I went, let's just try to do them. And if you fail, oh, well, who cares? It's a first world problem, right? I mean, if people would actually, I said that this morning to Katie, and I went, she goes, man, we're sold out. What are we going to do? And it's like, that's a first world problem.
Yes, I just used the wrong grammar. I am correct. See, I'm the person that corrects other people's grammar and spelling online.
Right on.
And it's like, first world problem. You're really upset about this, Lise? Seriously?
So I hope that answered your question.
A little perspective.
Yeah.
Jeff, thanks so much for coming into the studio this morning.
Been a treat.
I have not learned so much and had so much fun simultaneously, and I can't remember when. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Jeff Vukelich is in the movie made by UMD's own fabulous, wonderful David Corden. It's called Bigotry to Brook Trout. It's part of the International Fly Fishing Film Festival that is going to be at the Zinema tonight. We'll get a link set up so folks can find more information.